and the sermon. Father, thank you for being who we need. And Lord, I pray that we would fully understand that this morning, that without you, what is life? And so, Lord, we pray that through this time, not only the creation moment, but also the sermon, that we are more aware of your presence and what we need most than ever before. Lord, I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. The creation moment this morning, it's on a deep sea fish called the ice fish. It is actually oscillated ice fish. It's deep sea. It lives way down in the North and South Poles. One of the most extreme environments on the planet. It is living about 3,000 to more plus feet under the water. It's a deep sea fish. But it can survive these unhospitable areas because of its unique creation, how it's been made. The oscillated ice fish, for example, has clear blood. It's not very well understood how or why this is. You know, of course, evolutionists get puzzled at all kinds of things that God creates. The red color of most blood is given by hemoglobin, a protein that carries oxygen through the bloodstream to the organs that need it. The oscillated ice fish, which oscillated refers to the eye-like spots that are make up the fish coloration, does not have any hemoglobin. Its circulatory system gets along without it. Oxygen, rather than being transported by hemoglobin, is fully dissolved in the plasma, the main liquid element of blood. At those cold temperatures, oxygen dissolves into the plasma or more easily. And the muscles of the fish, circulatory system, are able to absorb the oxygen directly from the plasma. That's helped along by the fact that the oscillated ice fish has an extremely strong circulatory system. It's got a much larger and stronger heart than most other fish. And it pumps blood through its body at a rate 5 times greater than the average fish. That and the fish's relatively low metabolism helps make up for the loss in efficiency the fish suffers without hemoglobin. Evolutionary scientists can't understand why or how they evolve, quote-unquote, this way. Once again, proving the scripture. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. Yeah, that's so true about that. If it took millions of years for this fish to develop that, it would never have developed it because it would have died. So there again, creation is the only manner, only method for its survival. Well, I'm sure that most of you have heard of the Lost City. Some of us who are older probably even read the book, Lost Horizon. 1933 was when it was written, and it described a place called Shangri-La, a lost city, a place that people couldn't find, and it was, you know, out in the mountains, the Himalayas, and it was tucked away where it was impossible to find, and it was a place described as a harmony, a place of peace, knowledge, and wisdom, and long life. But no one really has found it. It's a legend. It's just a dream. But in this world, we have lost something. Something priceless. A jewel of life that we have gone without. The Bible tells us in Proverbs that though it cost all you have, get it. You know, it's unfortunate that our children are not learning it. It's not really anybody's particular fault because it's hidden. It's buried like treasure. You have to look for it. It became lost little by little. People kind of neglected it and it vanished, faded away. But today we're going to dig it up. We're going to find it. We are going to make the choice to use it, to teach it, to treasure it, to seek it. I'd like you to go to Proverbs chapter 3, 935 in your pew Bibles. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 13. Proverbs 3, verse 13. Some of you probably already guessed what we're going to talk about. It says, "Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed." Better than gold, better than silver, better than winning the lottery is wisdom. Wisdom is something that you can't do without if you plan to live your life responsibly. In fact, there's plenty of people, you know, and maybe it seems like very few, but there's plenty of people that have won great amounts of money. In fact, we know in this last lottery, people in California and Tennessee and Florida get to share $1 billion. It's a lot of money. But I want to tell you, if you look up on the internet at any time, you look up what's happened to individuals who won those great lotteries, it's ruined their lives, marriages have fallen apart, they've spent all the money and end up broke in just a matter of a year or two. And, you know, it's hard to believe that somebody could spend, you know, $100 or $200 or $400 million in just a year or two. Oh, it's possible. And these people have done it, and they end up on the streets, losing everything, because there's no wisdom. You know, it doesn't mean that a person can't have a lot of money. You can. But if you don't have wisdom, it's not going to amount to much. Solomon was asked, he was the king of Israel at the time, David's son, and he was asked what he wanted. God told him, "You can ask for anything and I'll give it to you. Wealth, fame, power, anything you want, you ask for it, I'll give it to you." What did Solomon ask for? Wisdom. Wisdom. And then God said, you know, because you asked for wisdom, you're going to get all the other things too. Because wisdom gives you guidance. Now, Solomon kind of left that behind at some point in his life, and he saw what happened to him. In fact, he married over 1,000 women. That was a big mistake. Proverbs 1:7. Turn back to Proverbs 1:7. And I want you to see that scripture. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Putting God first, believing in Him, trusting Jesus Christ with our soul, that's the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. You know, you can't gain wisdom, especially godly wisdom. You can have a certain amount of wisdom, worldly wisdom, but I want to tell you that worldly wisdom is not going to guide you the same as godly wisdom. Worldly wisdom is the kind that says, "Oh, it's okay if you go do that because it'll be covered over and, you know, what's done behind closed doors and all that kind of thing." That's worldly wisdom. And let me tell you know how worldly wisdom ends. Worldly wisdom ends with defeat, with failure. Because, you know, really, it's a prideful thing. You know, I know what I'm doing. Proverbs 4, let's go to that. Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 5 through 9. It says, "Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or swerve from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. Wisdom is supreme, therefore get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will set a garland of grace on your head and present you with a crown of splendor. Now that sounds pretty cool. But you know what? Satan doesn't want us to have wisdom. It's, you know, wisdom is vital for a Christian to live here in this world. It's vital for anyone. You need godly wisdom. Satan wants to keep us from it. He wants to keep us confused and distracted. So we go through life dazed and unaware. It's kind of like cattle going to the slaughter. I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but I've seen enough of it. And, you know, they get the cattle and they get in a big old, pen. Big old pen. And, you know, it's funny to me when you drive along and watch these things, there's one cow standing on top of the manure pile. I'm king. I got it all. And it's the same thing's going to happen to him as happens to all the other ones. They start herding them in, and it starts to narrow them down until one at a time they go through this little channel. And there's a guy on top of this platform, and he's popping each one. And they're dragging them out of the way. Every once in a while, you see one of those cattle stop. Go, hold on, I'm not going. That's the one with wisdom. But alas, they get whipped and pushed into the chute. And we're kind of like that when we don't have godly wisdom. We're kind of dazed and confused. The world is just following whatever happens. Isn't that the truth? You watch people in the world, you watch what's going on in the world, and you see everybody just kind of following the way of everybody else. Oh, like they're in a daze. And then you get the Christians. You know, we're going, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to follow this. And people are saying, what's wrong with you, man? Conform. Fit in. What's the matter with you? You know, you don't want to always, you know, buck the system. And we're standing there going, no, that's not right. When you seek wisdom, when you dig it up, when you run after it, your eyes are opened. You see the reality of what's going on. You see what Satan's doing. James chapter 1, keep your place in Proverbs because we're going back there. But James chapter 1, 1839 in your pew Bibles. 1839. James chapter 1 and verses 5 through 8. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. I want to say that in this scripture, it's describing an individual without wisdom. Someone who's following the worldly wisdom but doesn't have godly wisdom, tossed around, flipped around by the waves and the wind. But God wants us to have wisdom. He says right here, James by the Holy Spirit, saying that if any of you lacks wisdom, should ask God. And it's not that he gives it away sparingly. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, you know, he's giving away like, I don't know, I'll give you a couple, but I'm not going to give too much to you. You know, maybe 100 pieces of wisdom. No, it says God gives generously. He pours it out. He wants you to have wisdom. He wants you to be guided by it. But ask, believing it. Too many are content to walk through life accepting whatever you get. I mean, oh well, I guess that's my life. I can't do anything better. I just accept it. You know, that's life. That's not life. Too many of us are willing to accept whatever, to compromise, to just think that, well, I'm not worth it, or, you know, whatever it might be that Satan throws at you. And let me tell you, Satan is good at it. I want us to go to 2 Corinthians 17:56. Keep your finger in Proverbs again. 1756 in your Pew Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to look at 1 through 12 of 2 Corinthians 4. 1 through 12. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. You see, here Satan is trying to blind and keep people from seeing the truth. He's got unbelievers hooked. You know, they're running around in life and they don't even know what's going on. I mean, they think they do. They think, well, yeah, it's my job and I work my job. I'll get my retirement. I'll settle down and have a good life. Except I've seen so many people who have retired. In fact, I did a funeral for a guy. He retired and moved up to Crandon to retire and finally live by the lake and in the North Woods. And he didn't even get moved. It was within the week of moving. He died. No retirement. All that you work for and strove for reminds me of the scripture that says, you know, you fool, today your soul is going to be required. You know, we have no clue, no idea when God's going to call us, when our life will end. We don't know. It could be any one of us. Age doesn't matter. Social status doesn't matter. How much money we have in the bank doesn't matter. And Satan's got us blinded and got unbelievers veiled to the truth and thinking that I've got plenty of time. I'll just keep putting that dollar or two or a hundred or whatever in the lottery and one of these days. Well, he can cloud believers' eyes too, if we allow it. He can get our pride all worked up and push the truth away. And he'll distort wisdom. And he'll get us into this thing where we think, you know, I don't know if life is so hard. Kind of different from what Paul says here when he says, you know, we have this treasure, a treasure in jars of clay. Our bodies, they're frail. He says to show that this all-surpassing power is from God. You know, we're not all-powerful. I'm no Superman. I can't fly and stop bullets with my teeth and that kind of thing. I can't. If somebody comes in and starts shooting, I don't know. Who's going to die? I could get the first bullet. But you know what it says here? We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. struck down, but not destroyed. You cannot touch me. You cannot harm me. Oh, I can get a little depressed. I can have a little issue here. I can get perplexed. I can be pressed. I can feel this persecution. I can be struck down. But you cannot destroy me. You cannot take my salvation away from me. And Satan is out there throwing all these things at us that, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. Oh, just give up. Oh, that's life. Well, it's not life. According to wisdom, it will lift us up. According to wisdom, we can have what God has wanted for us. We can live a victorious life. Romans 8:37, I believe it is, tells us that we are more than conquerors. You know, in my kids club class, I told them that means you're winners. Conqueror is another word for winner. Does that mean I win all the games I play? Does that mean the Packers win all the games they play? Sore spot. No. But you know, if they're Christians, it doesn't matter win or lose. They're winners. Because I have Jesus Christ in my heart, I have His wisdom, His principles, and I will not fall. If we don't follow His principles, and we don't let wisdom guide us, we will fall. And what kind of example is that to our children? Because we need to teach them wisdom. We need to be examples to our children and grandchildren of wisdom. God's wisdom. Following His Word. Let's go back to Proverbs now. 9:37, if you didn't put your finger in there. Chapter 4, verse 20. It says, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet, and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." These are some strong words. But in these days, we're going to be tugged at, pulled at, harassed, pushed to follow the world. To follow the world's wisdom. Such as, you know, oh, well, you know, you guys are so stiff-necked. You know, get relaxed a little bit. You know, you should be open to all the things out there. You know, I mean, come on, don't fight against abortion. It's a woman's right. It's not what Scripture tells us. All life is cherished. All life is important. We have no right to take away any life other than nothing. Not even right to take our own life. We all know that. It happens. Abortion happens. All these things happen around the world. And so we as Christians then, we're supposed to say, oh, well, I guess, you know, if everybody's going to do it, we better just let it happen. No. Not according to the Scriptures. We stand on God's wisdom. We do not follow the world. You know, God cares for us. And He wants the best for us. And He's given us all the tools in the toolbox. You know, I got a toolbox at home. It's a big one. You know, it's got rollers on it, you know, and it's got lots of drawers in it, and screwdrivers and wrenches and all kinds of things in that toolbox. And I don't sit in the house and go, man, I don't know how I'm going to do that. I just don't know what I'm going to do. How do I change that light switch? I don't know how I'm going to change that light switch. Well, dummy, go out in the toolbox and get the tools. And that's what we do a lot of times. We sit around and we say, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. And God says, open the toolbox. And we go, man, He says, I've given you everything, and I give you wisdom. You've got to open the toolbox. You've got to look for it. You've got to seek it. I want the best for you. Trust me. You know, it's easier said than done. I can tell you these things, and I can preach them, and I can show you them. But if you don't pull them out, then what is it? It's kind of like teachers, you know, that teach a lesson at school. And they tell them, you know, go into your books and read this chapter. But if you don't go and read the chapter, what good is it? I challenge you, all of you, I'm going to make a challenge to read a proverb every day. Two or three verses. Doesn't have to be much. Every morning, when you get up, you open up Proverbs. Just open it wherever it is. You don't have to go chapter 1 through, you know, whatever, chapter 30. Just open to whatever and read a few Proverbs. And then go the rest of the day. Do that every day. A proverb. Just read one every morning. I challenge you to do it. If you do it, I can guarantee. And I'm not like the TV where they say, 100% money back guarantee, and then you try to do it. And they say, well, you know, it's prorated, and we got this, we got that, and did you do this, and did you do that? And, well, no, I didn't do it. Oh, sorry then. No, this is 100% guarantee. No strings attached, that your life will change. You will see changes in your life if you do this. I want to close in prayer, and then we're going to sing our last song here, close. So let's bow our heads and pray first. Father, thank you so much for this lesson. Boy, what a challenge it is. I mean, I've taken this challenge, and it's been a huge challenge even in my life to read that proverb every day, to seek your wisdom. I don't think anybody here would really cherish the thought of just selling everything we have to get wisdom. But that's exactly what you said. It's more valuable than gold or silver or anything. I pray that we hold wisdom high up. That we hold your wisdom strong in our life. That we appreciate it. That we dig for it. That we treasure it. Lord, I pray that you would make it an important, an invaluable part of our lives. And that we wouldn't just read it, but we would do it. Lord, thank you again for the challenge. We pray now that you would bless the rest of the service as we close and as we leave this place. Lord, give us opportunity to apply these things to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.